April 11th, 2015, it's a Watt from Pedro's show. Watch for Pedro show. Happy April. I ain't with Brother Matt. I am in Pedro, but I'm not on the Pleasure Point at the Love Grotto. Next week I will be, Brother Matt. But we got to install some stuff so we can do spiels from there. And because I'm going to do spiel today. I got here on the via Skype here in my Pedro pad, Bobby Michael of Father Figures. Welcome aboard.
And Tom.
And Tom. Sorry, Tom. Don't mean to leave you.
That's all right.
All right. And they're speaking to us via Phoenix, Arizona. Oh, I should tell you what we played. We started the show off John Coltrane doing The Promise live October 25, 1963, and then The Father Figures with We the Battery. I believe that's the shortest song on the new album. Before we get into that album, I want to get into how, well, even before how the band got together and stuff, I want to individually go down the music trip thing with Ichi. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. This is Michael.
Michael is the first guy, maybe the only guy I've met from the Father Figures. I met him, oh my God, maybe 30 years ago.
More than 30,
yeah.
Yeah.
33, 34 years ago. I remember you had a triangle on your head on the side. On your
hair.
And you played bass bitching.
Nice.
That's the way you could dig in there with a pick. It reminded me, there was a lot of cats doing that. Mikey Offender, Daryl and Bad Brain. There's a lot of, John Entwistle, you know, he used to pick sometimes, but a lot of the punk bass players, I really dug the way they used fingers, and so I did at first, too, and then I lost them. It was easier just to go back to fingers when I could play fast enough. But what is your first music memory, Michael?
Well, I started playing music way back in high school before I moved to Arizona.
No, I'm not even talking about playing. I'm talking about your first musical experience in your mind, like your first tune you heard that you can remember. Some people's memories can go way back. I can only go back to
I'll say the first.
Yeah.
I'll say the first album I owned was Maggot Brain by Funkadelic.
Oh, yeah, I know that one. Before you even owned, what about, Michael, what about before you owned? What about in the house? Did anybody play? Did anybody play record or the radio or?
Yeah. My dad was a manager of a YMCA.
Yeah.
And they would have dances at the YMCA.
Okay.
And since he was the manager, he had the big box of all the current 45s for the dance.
Bitch.
So this was in the 70s, like early 70s.
Yeah.
70s.
What town, Michael?
You know, like James Brown records and you know, just a lot of dance music from the 70s.
Yeah.
It was around the house.
What town, Michael?
I lived in Omaha then.
Okay. Boone's Pop was from Nebraska. Not Omaha, but in between Omaha and Lincoln, a little town. So your Pop, yeah, he's putting on the dances. He's got the music. He's got the records. So you had quite a variety.
Yeah, it was a pretty up-to-date variety around the house for back then.
And you were talking about Maggot Brain. I think that came out in 70 or 71, so you didn't get it when it was brand new. But what made you pick that record?
You know, I really don't know why I picked the record, but it had that crazy cover with
the
girl buried up to her neck with a giant afro. And
that's right.
And
I read some interview where they asked Eddie Hazel about that lady, and he didn't know. Of course, why would he know? You know, I get asked about album covers too, but it did have a trippy album cover, very distinctive. And then the first tune is a wailer, man. Eddie Hazel, incredible. Not much bass. The bass comes in later, though. Billy Bass. I got to meet him a few times. Cool people. You know what? I got to do that whole fucking album in January.
Really?
Yeah, Eric McFadden, a guy from New Mexico, by the way. Albuquerque, though. He invited me up to some pad in Hollywood, Viper Room, and there was Doug Wimbish. Oh. I think he's from Connecticut. On bass with about 500 pedals. And Blackbird McKnight came up. Michael Hampton. And then George Clinton. He was there for a book. It was during the NAMM thing. And we did all of the songs from that album. It was a trip for me. It's something right out of the blue. Just blew me away. Yeah. So, when do you start playing?
I started playing in high school. I played both guitar and bass during that time.
And what made you pick those?
I mostly played bass in bands. I played in bass and bands in high school, but they didn't really do anything or record anything. You know, they were just kind of trying it out.
No, what led you to get either a bass or a guitar?
I tried the cornet first in the high school band, and it really was horrible.
And it's kind of hard.
No, I just wanted to play something else, I begged my mom to get bass, and she said, "Well, it's going to be just like that cornet. You're not going to stick with it."
Oh, and,
I rub that in sometimes.
Yeah, you showed her. Yeah. I tried playing in the school band too, but I got kicked out. And his name is Mr. Looney. He said, "Why, you try hard, but you know, maybe you should stop wasting your time and my time." And he looks at all the class. He says, "Our time." So, that was kind of a beatdown. It was seventh grade, and so I never tried music in school again. But luckily, I met D. Boone. So, you were in some bands, but they never did gigs, and they never recorded, like just bedroom jam, garage jam?
Yeah, bedroom jams, garages, and a few parties, and nothing that was really...
What did you do? Did you copy songs, or did you start writing songs?
We did some of both, yeah. I was in a band with a guy called Daryl Lay. He's still in Kansas, and he's still a musician in Kansas, and he's a really good songwriter, guitar player, singer. And he's still doing it out there in Lawrence, Kansas.
Lawrence, College Town.
Yeah, College Town.
Right, I played there, Jayhawks. And he's still doing it. What's the club there? Bottleneck. In the old days, it used to be the Outhouse. Remember, out in that cornfield. There was a great band. What is it? Mortal Microdots? They were somewhere around there. So you were playing with him. And what, the family had to move to Arizona?
No, I came to Arizona to go to college.
Ah, okay, so Sun Devils.
I went to ASU, Sun Devils, yeah, go Sun Devils. And while I was in college, I started the band, the Junior Chemists, with one girl I knew from Kansas, and a guy that we met out here from Phoenix called, named Brendan. So it was Don and Brendan and I and the Junior Chemists.
Wow. Okay.
Hey, that was like 78, 79.
Yeah, when I was doing reactionaries with D. Boone.
Yeah, and that was like a arty punk band, kind of childish. It was like a take on a kid's child band.
Well, come on, think about it. That was kind of old days of punk.
Yeah.
Do you remember your first gig?
No,
I don't mean that you played, that you went to a punk. What made you want to start a punk band?
We went to some of the really early punk shows in Phoenix. It was called Trotorama and X-Rama, which were some hall.
Was that the Victor Brothers?
It wasn't the Victor Brothers. It was way before Victor Brothers added to it.
Okay.
And it was Frank Scutia and the Feeders.
Oh, yeah, I remember that band.
Yeah, it was that era.
Okay.
Back then, it was 78, 79.
Yeah, so
and we thought, well, those shows, we thought, you know, what the heck? We could do a punk band, so we started a punk band.
You know, Michael, there was a bunch of cats who left Phoenix for Hollywood and was a big part of our scene. Don Bowles, Paul Cutler, The Consumers, which turned into Human Hands.
Consumers.
Yeah.
They're legends out here.
Yeah, well, actually legends in our scene, too, you know. It's people don't really know that there's a connection. Also, there was a band, you were talking arty, right, Michael? They were called Monitor. And, in fact, the first Meat Puppets recording is on their first album. like in the middle of the album, all of a sudden the Meat Puppets are playing. It's kind of trippy.
Yeah.
You know, Chris Kirkwood is starting a radio show, and I was in Hollywood last week, and we were talking about this. So tell me about your first gig now, the Junior Chemist. Do you have recordings?
We have some recordings. I have a SoundCloud page. I started with the Junior Chemists. So you can find it on SoundCloud. And the first thing I posted there is the full show, which was like probably our longest set we ever played.
Yeah.
And it was kind of the heyday of the Junior Chemists. It was for Christmas show 1979, I think it was, or maybe 80.
Okay.
And you just by listening to the whole set with all the crowd noise, you can get a really good feeling for what the Phoenix scene was like back then. You can hear people talking shit about the punk scene and having people trying to calm down attitudes and people unplugging gear and you have to say, listen guys, don't unplug the stuff.
Yeah, but you did. Now, Michael, were you doing bass?
I was for the Junior Chemists. We switched instruments. So I played guitar, bass, and drums.
Wow. Okay. Around.
Yeah.
Like the go team. Everybody running around.
It wasn't a big accomplishment when you hear the level of playing that it was.
Still, you had the fucking balls. Hey, let's listen to some more of Father Figures right now, okay?
What's that?
Let's listen to some more Father Figures.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's do it.
beat them down, we'll beat them down. On our knees and on the ground. We'll beat them down, we'll beat them down. We're gonna beat them down. We're gonna beat them down now. We're gonna beat them down. I thought it was the summer of love. I thought it was the summer of love.
Struggled years to build my home with the blood
From Pedro Show, we just heard. Starting off that block of music was Father Figures with Glomar Response. Michael here is telling me Glomar, in fact, is the Glomar in Glomar Explorer, which was a CIA boat looking for a Soviet sub off the West Coast. And I guess the key line is we cannot confirm or deny, but you hardly ever hear that. Bullshit. Yeah. Okay, after that we had Los Necronauts with Tranny Fluid is Thinner Than Water, then Rough Francis with Blind Pigs, and Bon Rath, Brother Bo there, with Where the Scars Never Heal. Okay, that takes us up to Junior Chemist. Then the band I mentioned, is the next band JFA?
Yeah, the next band's JFA.
And how'd you get that band? Was that Brian's band to begin with?
Actually, I knew Don before Brian.
But
the guitar player Don.
Yeah, but wasn't Don an Orange County guy?
The band. Oh, what's that?
Wasn't Don an Orange County guy? An HB? Oh, so was Brian. Though.
Yeah, he was an HB guy. He was from HB. He went to Huntington High School. He came out here to go to DeVry Institute of Technology.
Okay, that's why, okay.
Learn how to be a satellite engineer. He's an engineer on satellites for satellite projects now.
So the DeVry thing actually worked, because I know a lot of people that shit don't work. Okay, respect.
He worked. He got a career out of that stuff.
Okay, and so you met Don first, okay.
Yeah, I met Don first, and then Don was playing in the D's, a punk band from, back then, the same year as the Junior Chemists.
Yeah.
And then after our bands kind of faded away, he wanted a band where everyone wasn't a junkie.
Yeah, that's an idea.
We said, let's put together a skate band, and so we found Bam Bam and Brian after we started kind of the idea.
Well, Bam Bam, what was he, like 12?
He was 13 or
13,
14
okay.
When we started.
I know he was little.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was just a little kid.
And then, I don't people out there listening, JFA went on to record many things. What, like Placebo? Was that the label, the Victor Brothers?
Yeah, Placebo.
Right. And lots of tours, but then you left the band, right? They kept going without you.
Yeah, I was in the band from the beginning in 81 to about 84, and then they wanted to do like a 9-week summer tour, and I couldn't do 9 weeks, on a summer tour. So I stepped out and
pulled the ripcord.
Alan Bishop.
That's right.
Girls,
that's right, Alan.
In. And so he stayed in there for a few years. And I came back in 86 and recorded the Nowhere Blossoms album
yeah.
with them.
Yeah.
88.
Yeah.
A little bit of stuff. We didn't, there was, the band was not very active in the, that period.
Yeah.
But didn't really play shows or tour or anything around then.
And what'd you do musically?
You mean after?
Yeah.
Or between? I did a lot of home recordings in that era, and was, I also...
It was like Michael Cornelius music.
Yeah, it was Michael Cornelius, yeah, Cornelius project.
Cornelius. You know, I played with a band in Tokyo called Cornelius.
Yeah, I've heard of
it. This guy named Mr. Kato, it's like a one-man band.
Uh-huh.
And then when he does a tour, he gets a band, of course, but... yeah, he said he got it from that Charlton Heston movie, Roddy McDowell.
Oh, that's what he told me.
Because I told him it wasn't a very common name. He asked me if it was a common first name in the U.S. And I said, well, not that common.
No.
I said, oh, well, I got it from the movie. But, okay, so you were making home music, Michael Cornelius music, and...
And then I joined a band called Housequake.
That's right.
In the late 80s.
Right. Yeah.
Housequake. I had a band called Paul for a while, a band called, and then Housequake for a couple of years. And then I was in a band called Suite Number 3. And all those bands mostly just played club shows around town. It wasn't really touring or anything else.
Yeah, maybe easier for you to with your situation, though.
Yeah, it worked for the situation, you know, just... Club shows, you know, playing bars around town.
Yeah.
And doing a little record band, but not a lot of recording.
Did you ever play Mason Jar?
Oh, yeah. I played Mason Jar in several bands.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his name? Who's the boss there? I can't remember. Big old earring.
Franco.
Yeah. That guy. What a tripper.
They're reopening that place.
Are they?
It's being remodeled into a new rock and roll club.
Wow. Pretty funny.
Yeah.
Okay, so then are we getting closer to the father figure years?
Yeah, well, there's a hiatus in there. After my band Suite Number 3 broke up, I decided that I did not want to, you know, work on that kind of stuff for a long time, so I took quite a few years off until the proper situation kind of presented itself again.
Okay, let's take a little time off and hear some more music.
And head to the bank, gonna see if no one is home.
Watch for Pedro show. We heard Father Figures with Thumper, and then 13 Fires after that with Weeping Coyote. The Spiral of Silence by 208 Talks of Angels with Matt Letley. You know about Matt Letley? What were they called? Status Quo. England band. Kind of got it. But in the 60s, they had a great single called Pictures of Matchstick Men.
Oh, yeah. That's
and then finally, Petra Hayden with Service Dog Vest. Petra played with her sisters and Pedro last night. And after prac, I was going to go. I just sat down for a moment and I conked. Fuck, I woke up and it's 3 in the morning. I don't usually stay up late except for gigs, you know. And
oh, yeah.
If things change as you get less younger, right? I was so embarrassed. In my own fucking town, I only had to go a few blocks. And fucking snoring away.
Where was it at, Harold's?
No, it's a place called the Warner Annex, which is a couple doors down from the Warner Theater. This, you know, was built in the late 20s. Actually, me and D. Boone saw The Exorcist there. And, man, that was a scary movie. We saw it the week it came out. Never saw a young woman cuss like that in a movie.
Oh, yeah, that was.
I guess it was Mercedes Cambridge, actually. But she was mouthing it. And lots of loogies and shit. We got your mother down here, Karis. That was... And the twist in the end, the whole thing. And also, at that theater, it wasn't that movie, but another one. We saw a guy in the lobby have an epileptic fit. I never saw that before. I didn't know what was happening. And that was scarier than The Exorcist, actually. His tongue. Yeah, it was a trip. Anyway, that's where she played. Not to belabor the point. But I'm an idiot, and I'm totally embarrassed. Sorry. We're at the end of the first hour. Watch for Pedro show, April 11, 2015 edition. My special guest from Phoenix, Arizona, the Father Figures. We're going to get into who's going to go next.
I can go next, Bobby.
Okay, but we're going to have Bobby's music journey. Hour two. Hold tight. April 11, 2015. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro show. For Pedro Show, started the second hour off with father figures doing, I've just been enlightened, it is not M7 coupe, it's M7 lute, which means minor seventh, that means you flat the seventh interval of that chord. Then we had No Volcano with tribute. Are these label mates of you? You guys?
They're buddies of ours. I'm wearing a No Volcano shirt right now.
Okay. Well, they just did a tribute to fucking M7 Loop, because it ain't M7 Coupe. Then we heard...
that's a cool song.
Yeah. We heard Jermaine... I think that's it's the title song, right? Their new album. The label sent it over to me. Jermaine and Barnes with Talus, and Softus with Glass Crow. Zabranetta. Planetta. By Bernays Propaganda. Monique by Devin, Gary, and Ross. That Gary is Gary Panner, who did Jimbo, if you know any of those old Slash magazines. 2024 Chocolate Will Be No More, GG Band. And now it's Bobby's turn, and he's going to enlighten us with his music journey, which was kind of like, I don't know, kind of barren.
Yeah, I wasn't as lucky as Michael. I didn't have music around the house too much. I think the only record my mom had was Eddie Arnold, Turn the World Around.
Eddie Arnold.
So there wasn't a lot. So I was lucky. My parents were divorced, and so I had an older brother, and when I would go over to my dad's house, he had a record collection, you know, Beatles, AC/DC, and then some new wave and punk rock started to work its way in there. I remember when Devo and X-Ray Specs and Blondie, Plasmatics,
is this
like that started to work.
Bobby, is this in Phoenix?
Yes, I grew up in Phoenix, yeah.
Okay. And yeah, so you know what? I gotta say, man, it sounded like Phoenix was kind of ahead of the curve. They're up there with New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles. I didn't really realize that. I know because we had guys come from the scene early, but I didn't know, God, even your pop is listening to this stuff like this, you know?
Yeah, well, not my dad. My brother was.
Oh, your brother. He's living with your pop. That's where the records are.
Yeah, he's living with my pop. So, yeah, and that's like, this is about, like, 79, 80 is when I started, you know, getting into this stuff. 79, 80, 81. And then, you know, I had a friend whose parents were hippies, and they had all kinds of great records that that we would go through. And I didn't actually start playing music until about 8th grade is when I finally got a drum set.
Okay.
And just...
Why the drums? Why the drums, Bobby?
You know, because when I was in 6th grade, I was a fake Peter Criss in a fake Kiss band for a talent show at school.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I just wanted to play the drums after that. And there was a punk rock band that practiced in my...
Bobby, did you get a Pearl drum set? Let's listen to some more music.
This is not an answer, it is more of a question. I need a direction, a brand new suggestion. This is not a statement about any behavior. I don't need a savior or another crusader. We've been crushing eagles for a few generations. Don't change the station, I'll take a vacation. We've been crushing eagles to the verge of extinction. I recognize the motives from the pamphlets they gave us. Religious men trained us.
I'm not gonna get my head to the end of the summer. I'm not gonna get my head to the end of the summer. Twist it like a deep tail, I can make your heart feel. of all my gains. Sick and tired of all my bullshit. Crawling in through that door at 3 in the morning, smelling like some woman's perfume. I know you're sick and tired of all my games, sick and tired of my ways. Oh, baby, baby, please, don't leave me this way. I beg of you, I beg for your forgiveness. You're sick and tired. I'm down on my hands and knees. Baby, baby, please. Begging you for forgiveness. I promise this will be the last time. And I know you've heard that before. Baby, please don't walk out that door. Don't leave me this way. Sick and tired of all my games. Baby, baby, please. I'm down on my hands and knees. I'm begging you. Don't leave me this way. All I need is your forgiveness. Look down on my hands and knees. Baby, baby, please. I know you're sick and tired of all my lies. Baby, baby, please. Beg for your forgiveness. Down on my hands and knees.
Please wear gray flannel panties when you next visit me in my cage. I have nothing to lose and nothing to gain by leaning on your insecurities. If you don't exploit me, I will never say a rude thing about your cunt.
To St. Louis. Well, after Pedro's show, we started that music chunk with Crushing Eagles by the Father Figures. I'm getting enlightened of the deep meaning behind this tune. It started out as a kind of a title and then went to a better place. Thank you, NFL, even with all the concussions. And we heard Eruption, Gonna Get My Hair Cut at the End of Summer by Tobacco. There's Tom there out of Pittsburgh. Courtesy with Slow Brews, Forgiveness from Carnage Asada, Wasted on You, Pale Angels, Sleepless Night, Seven the Roddicks, Past Perennial, Howie Reeve. I just did a double bass single with him. Wet Cigarette, but all spelled wrong, with Home, and finally Yucca with Songs. I guess I should say Yucca, but we say Yucca, huh? Bobby, so you got this, it ain't a Pearl drum set, it's a beater, just like me and D. Boom, we start on beater stuff. And did you teach yourself?
I did. There was a punk band that rehearsed up the street for me called Soylent Green. They were on the Placebo label with JFA. And so Bam Bam would hang around up there, and him and the other drummer dude that was up there, Neil, they just told me, just count to four, and that's all you need to know.
Wow.
And so I started a punk band in high school called The Joke with some buddies. And
The Joke?
And then right after, yeah, The Joke.
Okay.
You know, just a bedroom band playing house parties. And then I had a DeVry connection. I had two dudes that moved, well, one dude that moved out here, another guy from Huntington Beach, Richie Paul, came out, and we started a band called Kluged, and we actually recorded, and Michael produced our tape in 1983, 84, somewhere around in there.
That's vicious.
Yeah, so. And then from there, I just played in tons of bands, and you know, I played with Jeff Dahl for a little while. After
that's right, because Jeff, he lived in Phoenix for a while, didn't he?
Yep, yep. So I played in the first incarnation of his band here, did a little touring with him, and I've been lucky enough to play. So I was a little kid. I was like, you know, 11, 12 when the hardcore scene was going on here, and I wasn't playing in bands at the time. Of the early stuff. So I'm lucky, though. I got to play with all of my favorite, somebody from all of my favorite early Phoenix bands later on in life, you know, in the 90s and 2000s, et cetera. So it's been pretty cool.
That's bitching. That really is. I think Jeff's in Hawaii now, right?
Yep. He's in Hawaii living the big life.
The Hawaiian life. Oh, you know, yeah. George Hurley, twice he went to Hawaii to just surf, live on the beach. He was eating coconuts. He was almost killed by the waves, and that's how he got into drugs. He said, fuck surfing. And he got that Happy Jack Who album and headphones, and that's how you learned. Yeah. Now George went back to surfing, and he ain't doing much drugs. I saw him a little while ago. Yeah, he looked in great shape. That's a great story. What about Tom there?
What's up, Watt?
Hey, Tom, what's your first music experience that you can remember?
I have to say, my dad was a huge Doors fan, so we listened to the Doors a lot in the early 70s.
And are we talking Phoenix?
Yeah, I'm a Phoenix native.
Okay. So a lot of Doors. Krieger?
The Doors.
Robbie Krieger.
Oh, yeah.
Not much bass. I think it was the left hand on the organ.
Yeah.
Not that organ, Michael. Other organ. Okay. So you're hearing a lot of Doors, you know?
Yeah, a lot of Doors.
Tops in cars, topless bars, never met a woman so alone. There's bass on that album, though. Doors big influence. Actually, a lot of the cats I met in the punk scene here in SoCal were into the Doors. Bands like X. Jack Brewer, Sucker and Trust. They used to cover Peace Frog. Okay, so this was a big influence on you then.
Last year at Harold's.
Oh, you were in Pedro?
Yeah, I sent you an email.
That's right. You know, I only get one or two a year, you know.
Yeah. You were very kind and wrote right back and said you were going to be out of town.
I'm sorry. Yeah, summertime, usually touring for me.
Next time we'll just play with you.
That's an idea. I'm going to play there tonight with Spit Sticks. Speaking of drummers there, Bobby. He lives in Portland now. And he's with some band called Nasal Rod. And they're good. I played with them once before. Yeah, I know what a name. But anyway, back to you. Tom, so you're listening to a lot of Doors. What made you get into, you know, playing what you play?
You know, I probably about fourth grade or so, I started getting really into picking out my own sounds, and I always sort of gravitated to the bass. I knew early on that's what I wanted to play, and then
the Doors needed a bass player. That's why, because the Doors needed a bass player. Girl, you gotta love your man. Okay, so you gravitate. You know, I love this because in the old days, basses is usually the dudes on guitar who couldn't find gigs, so they just like kind of, you know, sublimated themselves, you know. And to hear a cat wanting to play it from the get-go. I mean, when the punk movement came, there was a lot of that. But before that, you didn't have... It'd be somebody from the school band who did stand-up. So that's bitching to hear. What was your first bass?
My first bass was a Rickenbacker 4001.
Wow. Yeah, one truss rod.
Mm-hmm.
Better than the threes, I think.
And then...
they got their own sound.
It had a very squirrely sound.
Yeah. You know what? Fuck, we're at the end of the second hour. Can we pick this up on the third hour?
Sure.
Okay, good people. It's the April 11, 2015 edition of Wap for Peter Show. Special guest, Father Figures. Hold tight for hour three. April 11, 2015. It's the third hour of the Wap for Peter Show.
do it again, or if I change what I did. But if that say a current offense, I'd sell my soul for the highest bid. Excuse me as I build the strength to smile. I've never learned from my mistakes. How many more will I have to make? Living is much easier the more you are unaware. The real world starts to pile up.
Like a Walt Whitman song. Alright, good people, we started the third hour off with Mr. Diggler. Nothing to do with the fake porn figure. By the father figures. God, that's why I said figure, huh? Go figure. Then we had Basho with From the Beginning to Late Again. No Poem, Die Sangfreud. Vincent Atkins with Nile River Delta. Nota Comet with Colonial Authorities. So What? With, no, they're called If So, So What? Yeah, stupid what. Down Here is the name of the tune. And finally, Wovet, Pen Pal Drama. You know, that's the most intense kind of drama, it's the pen pal drama. Here with father figure Tom talking about getting on the bass. It sounds like you weren't on that Rickenbacker for too long.
I played the Rick for probably about 3 years and then switched over to a Fender P bass.
Okay. I think a Fender P is what I first saw. Fender P is what I first saw Michael play, I think.
Is that right? I still have it.
Was it natural?
It's a natural, yeah, it's a natural finish.
See? Neck. I fight Alzheimer's at every turn. I fight Alzheimer's.
Because I remember what Michael Cornelius played in 1983.
Okay. So you went to a P bass there, and what kind of amp? Just for the fuck.
Play an Ampeg SBT 3 Pro.
Okay, yeah, a little lighter than an SBT.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little bit easier on my wallet.
Yeah, I've got also on your fucking back. Your back will love you for it, and your girlfriend. What about bands? Once you get into the bass, yeah, because everybody needs a bass player, right? That's why I was showing you all those dudes.
I started a band with some buddies that eventually became Hillbilly Devil Speak. And figured out I was just going to sing first, and figured out I could play the bass lines better than the bass player could. So we got rid of him and became a three-piece. And did that for quite a long time. Picked up a few other bands along the way. Played in Pinky Tuscadero's White Knuckle Ass Fuck.
Whoa.
And
that's a
yeah.
Game. That's a game.
That's a mouthful.
Speaking of dirt.
And speaking of there's some crossover.
Yeah. And but then, that's what life's about there. It's okay. And then look, let's get up to how the fucking father figures got started.
So after I did three bands for a while. I did Hillbilly and Pinky and then Northside Kings, and then kind of got tired of doing the three of them, and they all kind of petered out at the same time. And one day Bobby and I were commenting on the same song on Facebook, and I said, you know, we could do better than that. And
you mean
you
guys
sparked a conversation?
You mean
what's that?
Am I to understand you that this band came together via fake look?
Well,
I guess yeah, it's better than my waste of space place or shitter.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. So you guys ended up commenting on the same band. Yeah, we used to kind of do that in the old days.
Friends for a long time.
Okay.
Prior to that, and commented on a kind of a post-punk sounding band, and I said we could do better than that, and that sparked a conversation. And Bobby and I talked about, well, all right, who can we get to play guitar? And Bobby suggested Michael, and Michael was a huge influence on me growing up from a bass standpoint.
Sure.
So I was like, hell yes, let's do that.
can I ask you what does post-punk mean? After punk?
It's a reaction to punk rock, I think.
Okay. I think it's punk with a heart on.
Okay. And punk is like whatever without a heart on?
Depends on which version of it you're listening to.
Okay, here's our final music for the edition.
Thank you.
Hey, good people. Last music for this edition. The longest song from their new album, The Truth Is an Odd Number by the Father Figures. Make a lot of fucking noise over there, guys. Watch out. Then we had Frightwig with a rough mix of something new from them called Agent Sucks. What's that about? And then Labor Camp with Deep Blue Sea. That's got Kurt from Nip Drivers. And then No Volcano again. Story in, these are friends, father figures there in Phoenix. No Volcano. That's a trippy name. And then Big Bam from Round Eye. That's got Brother Steve McKay with some guys, expatriate guys in China. And then finally, Hubris, the extract out of Canada. Let's get back to this father figure story. Okay, so Michael's the last, he's the last cat to join the band. So I'm so glad I didn't say your band, because I would have felt like a real dick. It was actually started by the bass player who got together with the drummer and then thought of an ex-bass player to come in on guitar. This is how the father figure started. How'd you figure out this name?
A buddy of mine actually suggested it to us. It was, you know, Michael thinks of it as more like a big brother kind of connotation. So we kind of roll with that more than the, you know, clean cut dads making good.
Yeah, what was Stalin's favorite book when he was young? It's called The Patricide. I guess that's killing your father.
Yeah.
Maybe it's kind of like that, but way different.
Okay. We need to have an album called Patricide.
Is that right? Or it's The Patricide. And I think the hero, his name is Koba, and he used that for his first fucking gangster name or something like that. Jail name. Tell me about the first practice.
It was actually right here in the room we're sitting in now.
Did you?
We're in Bobby's rec room.
So you knew it was a band, right, from the first go? What was the first gig like?
Actually, Bobby's wife was out of town. He said, "Hey, dudes, let's make some noise," you know, because the wife was out of town. I can just make some noise and have fun. And so we came over to make some noise, and it was fun, so we did it again, and then pretty quick.
We tied Slay Your Birthday.
Yeah, pretty quick I suggested that we play a set at my 50th birthday.
First gig was your 50th birthday. Okay.
Our first gig was my 50th birthday. I was going to throw down, you know, a nice big party at a club.
Chuck E. Cheese.
And I was going to have some other band play, I knew. And I said, we should play a set, too. And it was like 6 weeks away from our first, you know, jams.
Wow, so you wrote all them tunes in 6 weeks. Yes? I think we lost him again. Yep, we lost him again. Here. Okay, go ahead.
So by the time we got to that that first show on my birthday, we had 9 original songs and 2 more shows lined up after that. So I was like, well, I guess we're a band now.
Wow. And what about the album?
Well, we saved our pennies from our first set of gigs and went to the recording studio as soon as we had enough.
So, man, because you guys are kind of veteranos, so you just fucking did it. Very happy. Very inspiring. And what about, obviously, you play a lot of gigs around Phoenix, but you guys do little tours?
We did one.
We're pretty pathetic when it comes to promoting ourselves and playing out of town.
Well, let me ask you your future plans.
We'd like to come back to San Pedro.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, Harold's Place?
Southern Cal, kind of tours, San Diego, Huntington Beach, Pedro. LA-ish.
If you come from this town, you don't say it that way.
Yeah. Oh, Pedro.
Pedro.
And the beach here is called Cabrillo. Just to let you know, when you travel over that Mojave, you know, with nothing to eat but fried joles and tortillas. Pedro.
Cabrillo.
Tankers. Yeah. Jalapenos. Okay. Look, I ask everybody on the show this. If somebody wanted to ask you advice about music, what would you tell them?
Play.
That's a good one.
Don't give a shit.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not that hard, really. It just takes a little time. It's not that expensive to do compared to some other things you might do, like playing golf or something, you know? So
you're saying have patience, persevere?
Yeah, have patience, persevere, do something that takes a little time, effort, and thought, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of entertainment these days is like instant gratification entertainment, and playing music takes some time and energy and thought to make it all work out right. And
yeah,
I think that's a good thing, you know.
Yeah, me too. I agree.
Do it now.
Yeah, do it now, and get started. I mean, you don't have to be that good.
Uh-huh.
You just have to do it.
Right. So motivate yourself. Motivation's important.
Yeah. Motivate.
Yeah. Okay. And because it's not going to get done by itself, right?
No.
Yeah. Just do it. Have fun.
That's it.
You know, since we started, I think we've inspired a lot of our friends to sort of jump back in there and start some bands, do some things, and make some stuff happen. So there's a pretty big scene of our peers that have kind of jumped back in the last 4 or 5 years.
That's the singer from No Volcano was telling me that very thing this morning.
Yeah.
That we inspired him to kind of get back out there.
That's very bitchy. Thank you for being so contagious. And thank you for being guests on the Watt for Pedro show. Much respect to you cats, and I wish you the best. In fact, get people... Yeah, music don't have to be just the early stage of your life. You can go back to it, no problem. Good people, it's been the April 11, 2015 edition of the Watt for Pedro show with my special guest, Father Figures. Keep your powder dry.